Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and then we make our confession, all right? Father, we come before you once again with just grateful hearts. I thank you for the privilege of prayer. I'm so thankful, Lord, that I can pray, that we can maintain communion with you throughout our days, Lord, in these seasons. I want to take a moment right now to lift up our leaders before you. Lord, lift up our president, his administration, our senators, representatives. Lift up our governor here in Virginia, his administration, all of those state and local representatives. Lord, my city council members right here. And I just ask, Lord, that you would, first of all, draw us to yourself, Lord. Draw us, even as leaders within the body of Christ. Help your people. May there be an awakening of the church for a mighty, Lord, move of your Spirit. Lord, our hope is in you, not any human. So may you do that work of grace in your people, drawing us to yourself into a closer walk with you. But then let us shine brightly with the light of Jesus in us. Let us bring the flavor, Lord, of Jesus and your kingdom into this earth as well. And I pray that you would just raise up leaders who would seek you. And then as they seek you, may you give them, Lord, wisdom from on high. We are facing things today, Lord. We human effort and strength and limitations are not enough. We need your help. And I pray that we would even be willing to humble ourselves and seek you for that wisdom. And I pray that you would anoint those who seek you to fulfill the call and purpose for which you have placed them in that office. And the scripture tells us we're to pray for those in authority so that we may lead a quiet and peace-filled life with all reverence and godliness, because you want all people to be saved. So may you reign through people in such a way that ultimately it would extend your kingdom so that you get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me this morning as we make our confession together of our confidence in God's Spirit to speak to us through his word, and then we'll go into 1 John chapter 4, okay? So, ready? Let's make our confession together. If you're streaming, if you see these words, then we invite you to join us as well. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Right toward the end of your Bible, the letter of 1 John, if you would turn there with me, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And while you're, in fact, let me just, I'll mention this real quick right off the bat. 1 John chapter 4. Over the last few weeks, I've noticed, the kids' church, the elementary grades, have a take-home page. So mom and dad, grandparents, if you have son or daughter, grandchild, first through fifth grade, and others may as well, but I know they have a take-home page, and I've been putting it on our website. So if you're streaming even right now, you can go on there. If you go over, put the cursor over ministries, and you'll see the kids' church. Even if you don't have a printer, you can go over with your son or daughter there. And I encourage you to do that, because God has entrusted us as parents with the primary responsibility of training our sons and daughters in the ways of the Lord. Now, thank God the church partners and godly people. Thank God. Believe me. I thank God. But we are ultimately responsible. So this is just to be a little encouragement to you and give you a little something to work with. And I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing a message, be holy, humble, and hungry. And the kids' church message was, God is holy. And then last week, I was sharing how, you know, the devil is not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing and everywhere like God is. And last week's message for the kids' church was, God is all-powerful. And then today's message, I'll give it to you. In fact, I'll just tell you what it, well, I hold you, I keep in a little suspense, so sorry. No, not really, but because I'm going to read the verse in a moment. But today's message for the kids' church is God is always with us. And again, it fits with the theme of the message I was preparing. I didn't know this until I put it up on the website and printed it off. So I just want to encourage you. Again, the website is CLM Family, CLMFAMILY.org. And usually every week I put a little blog there for my outline of the message and some follow-up questions that you might want to take advantage of as well. All right, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved or loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Notice what he's speaking of here. He's speaking of spirits, and he's speaking of false prophets. Verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, I know in our culture we can think that's like first and last name. That's not what it means. Christ always in the scripture means Messiah. So what it's saying here is you know the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus is Messiah, has come, that he's come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus, Messiah Jesus, has come in the flesh, is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So that was 2,000 years ago. You see what he's speaking of, spirits and false prophets. And then verse 4, and this is kind of our theme verse here. You are of God, little children. In other words, those who know the Lord, you are born of God, you belong to God, and have overcome them, overcome those Antichrist spirits, overcome those false spirits, overcome the false prophets, and have overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Verse 4, I want to ask you, now, a couple weeks ago I asked you to memorize a verse, and I know a couple of you actually were willing to do it here during the service the following week. I'd like to ask you to memorize and meditate on this one this week. 1 John 4:4. I've been focusing on it this past week. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. And just, I want to encourage you. I'll try to follow up next week and see if you do it. Just give it your best. It's a great truth. I would like to ask you to read verse 4 out loud with me, though, right now. Let's read it together. There's something about confessing God's word. It helps us to retain it. It's like planting and watering that seed of God's word in our heart and spirit. So would you read, in fact, we may have different translations. If you read it off the screen with me, we'll be on the same translation together. Ready? Let's read it out loud. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the message this morning is just simply, the greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. Would you tell someone next to you, the greater one lives in me? Or if they're not next to you, just shout it across the room. Socially distant. As followers of Jesus, we battle what the Bible calls the flesh. It's not that the body is like evil. That means our natural tendency to sin. That's one of the reasons we have to train sons and daughters in the ways of the Lord, because they'll kind of just, let me reword that, we kind of just go that way by course and by nature. We also have to battle a world system that is given to idolatry and immorality and pride. And we have to battle evil spirits. Thank God, through the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and through his resurrection, he defeated all of those foes for us, and we can walk in the victory he has provided for us. So the truth is, the greater one lives in me. Now, that's true for everyone who has been drawn by the Spirit of God to turn from sin, to turn from unbelief. That conviction comes of God's Holy Spirit. See, we can repeat prayers all day long, but it doesn't transform our heart unless it's led by God's Holy Spirit. We can join a church. We can raise our hand and sign cards and walk the aisle and get baptized. They're all good. But unless God is drawing, we're just going through the outward motions. Only God can change a heart. But when his Spirit draws us and we come to that place where we believe God's word and we receive Jesus as Lord, we are forgiven of all of our sins. Think about that. Every sin is gone. As far as the east is from the west, never to be held over our head again. Those sins are gone. We are brought into right standing with the Holy God, and his Holy Spirit indwells us. And every follower of Jesus can say, the greater one lives in me. Let me just back that up with scripture. 1 John 3, just go back, if you would, two verses before chapter 4, verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the commandment. Everything starts with believing. And love one another as he gave us commandment. If we get away from that faith walk with the Lord and that love walk, we're robbing ourselves of the fullness of what God wants for us. Verse 24, now he who keeps the Lord's commandments abides in him and Christ, and he abides in Christ. And by this we know that he abides in us. How do we know? By the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. So we can know that we belong to God. We don't have to say, well, I hope I make it to heaven one day. You don't, and it's not wishful thinking. We have a solid foundation because Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered sin, he conquered the devil, and everyone who is in covenant with God is born again, and we can know that when we take our last breath, we will be in with the Lord. He says, I've written these things to you so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope, not try to hold out. Know right now that God's Holy Spirit is indwelling us. The greater one lives in me. Now, he starts off in verse 1 there of chapter 4. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. The spirit world is very real. But how do you test a spirit? Because we can't see them. Well, we can't rely on our changing emotions. Because, man, they can be like the wind. And we can't rely, at least I hope we don't, on our limited human understanding because we know so little. So how do we test a spirit to find out, is this spirit really of God or of the darkness? And here's how we test spirits, brothers and sisters. We test spirits by the word of God. We test spirits by the truth of God's word. God's word is truth. And that's how we test a spirit. Again, I'll show you the scripture. I can, you know, anyone can mouth words. I want you to see it from the written word of God for yourself. 1 John, would you turn back to chapter 2? Let me read one verse and then we'll look at a couple others. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 John 2:14 says this, I have written to you. Notice, it's not just talking, he's written. He says, I have written to you, fathers. That's speaking of those who are like older in the faith, mothers and fathers in the Christian faith. I've written to you because you've known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, those young men, young women in the faith. Notice, because you are strong and what? And the word of God abides in you. That's the only way we can be strong. Is in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're talking about against a spirit. So you are strong and the word of God is living on the inside of you. Notice, and you have overcome the wicked one. The greater one lives in me. Would you say that with me? The greater one lives in me. So the word is written so that we can know. Back in chapter 4, verse 5, 1 John chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says this. Again, he's speaking about these spirits, and he's speaking about false prophets. And he says, they are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We, notice the context is plural, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. This is an apostle writing. And he says, if you're really of God, you'll listen to these words because these are inspired words of Scripture. He who is not of God does not hear us, and by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I want to give you a couple of accounts here in the Scripture about people's dealing with spirits because several spirits are actually mentioned by name in the Bible. And if you want to just maybe write the references down, let me turn back. I'm going to begin with 1 Kings 22. Just want to show you a couple of them here. 1 Kings chapter 22. And here is there's a king by the name of Ahab, who's the king of Israel. Some of you probably heard of his wife. Anybody know her name? Jezebel. All right. And the Bible says here, see, I know sometimes we say this, and it can be like a Christian saying, like, you send the devil back to hell where he belongs. If the devil was in hell, he wouldn't be bothering us. So at this point, there are still demon spirits out, you know, in the spirit realm. And we read in a couple accounts of how these spirits, God will, I'm not saying they have access to the throne of God, but in that spirit realm, some of them come before God at times. We read that in the book of Job. But here, spirits are like coming before the Lord. And notice what happens. This is 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. It says, then, this is a prophet of God, Micah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand, on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab, this king, to go up so that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spirit spoke one way and another spirit spoke in another. Verse 21, then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I'll persuade him. And the Lord said, in what way? So this spirit told the Lord, he says, in what way? And he says, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. Isn't that something? A lying spirit. And he says, I'll be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets or these prophets. And the Lord said, all right, then you go out and do it. Verse 23, therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. He's telling the king in all these prophets, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. And the king said, see, I told you, that's why I didn't want to hear that preacher. He never says a thing good about me. And he said, arrest him, give him bread and water of affliction until I come back in peace. And that prophet said, if you come back at all, God hasn't spoken by me. You listen, all the people. So the king went out to that battle, and the enemy said, don't kill anyone but the king. But the king disguised himself so people wouldn't know it was him. And so they go out into the battle, and the king of Judah had met with him. And so sure enough, the enemy thought the king of Judah was Ahab. And so they come up to him and they realize, this isn't Ahab. This is the king of Judah. And they just went off and they left him because the king screamed. When the king of Judah, when they were coming after him, he screamed. And this is what the Bible says. One of the archers of the enemy took his bow and arrow and here's how it specifically says it. It says he randomly shot an arrow. And that arrow actually landed between the joints of the armor of King Ahab and killed him. See, a lying spirit led Ahab to go into a battle that he should have avoided. And a lying spirit, notice he was saying all along, how do you tell? Is false prophets. See, a lying spirit can disguise itself under the cloak of religion. If you want to just write this scripture down, let me read it to you. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, just a couple of verses here, beginning in verse 13, or three verses. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And it's no great wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Isn't that something? That the devil can appear as an angel of light. That's why, it could be easy to be deceived if we do not test the spirits by the truth of God's word. God's truth is an unchanging standard to live by. And God's spirit will empower us to live by his truth as we just simply believe him and obedient to him. Would you say with me? The greater one lives in me. Or you can say it after me. The greater one lives in me. Let me give you one more. This is also in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, talked about a lying spirit. This is a different spirit that's mentioned here. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13, the Bible says this, that Samuel the prophet took the horn of oil and anointed him, talking about David, in the middle of his brothers. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. That was where he was from. And then verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. See, Saul was anointed the king of Israel. But because Saul rejected the word of God and rebelled against God, God lifted that anointing to be king from him and placed it on David instead, because God said, I'm going to find a man who's after my heart, and he's going to be the one to lead my people. And so the Spirit of God, in that sense, had departed from Saul. And this is what it says, that he had opened himself up in that next verse. And this, again, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14 says that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. From the Lord means the Lord allowed it, but he allowed it because Saul was in rebellion to God. That word distressing can also mean disagreeable. Have you ever felt like you just have to battle a disagreeable spirit? Or is that y'all? That's just me? Any of y'all? You ever feel like you sense that spiritual battle at times? This was a distressing spirit, a disagreeable spirit that came upon Saul, and it troubled him. Thankfully, he had someone in his administration who gave him some wise advice. The Bible says in verse 15, it says that Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play the harp with his hand when that distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well. Isn't that something? See, David was that man. David played. There are many talented musicians and singers and so forth in the world today, but there's something about someone who's anointed by God and someone who will use their voice. Doesn't matter how good it sounds to others. It comes from the heart. And someone who will use their ability to play by the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, because when David played as a worshiper of God, that distressing spirit left Saul. That's a powerful truth. Genuine worship draws us closer to the Lord. And God refreshes our soul in his presence. I remember, growing up in church most of my life. I was out of church for a period of years, but I didn't understand this. I just thought, I don't know why I thought we did it. Honestly, I really didn't. I didn't see the point. Once I really started getting into it a little bit, I thought, we was here for the message. I was missing it. And we called it a song service. And you can call it whatever. You can sing two or three hymns. That's fine. It's not about the style. It's not about what you're singing. It's about worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And it's about whether it's liturgical or is kind of whatever. That's not the issue. Is it by the Spirit of God? Because when people come together to seek the Lord, then God moves. He inhabits the praise of his people. And when God shows up, the Bible says that there are times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. So there's something about, I mean, haven't you ever had a song, I mean, a worship song speak to your heart and minister to you? Maybe you were in a season of just loss or hurting, and it brings you to tears, and God is speaking to you through that song. Maybe you're praising God and you just hear something on the radio or whatever it is, and you just have a song in your heart. That's God bringing those. See, it doesn't matter whether those words are spoken or sung. If it's God's word, it matters, and it's powerful. It's freeing. It's living. It's the word of God. And there's something about the Holy Spirit of God within every one of his sons and daughters that wants us to worship. It's almost like you see it in children. They have a freedom because they don't worry so much about what someone else around them thinks. It's not about show, but have you noticed that when we start getting up around the teen years, And I did it myself. I remember. I honestly did. And it's not about, again, who's more flamboyant. It's just simply being free to worship the Lord. That's all. But there's something powerful about praise and worship that is anointed by God. And this same young man, it is estimated that David was probably about 15 years old at this time when he was anointed to be king. And it says this in 1 Samuel 17, verse 44. 1 Samuel 17, 44. Because he's there, you know, he's been playing for the king. And the Bible says that Goliath went out and he challenged the armies of Israel and they were all scared of him. This man was like 9.5 feet tall. He was massive, a giant. And the Bible says in verse 44 that this David was going to fight him. Can you imagine what that even looked like? Here's a 15-year-old going up against this 9.5-foot huge man, he's a warrior. And it says in verse 44 that Philistine said to David, "Come to me. I'm going to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." And David said to him, now he wasn't just talking trash, all right, but listen to what he says. He says, David said to him, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." The reason I said David wasn't just talking trash is because David knew the power of covenant. David knew that God had a covenant with Israel. And it was based on that covenant that David could go and fight this giant. Because this giant was not in covenant. He had size, he had human strength, he had human weapons, but he did not have the armor of God and the Spirit of God. And so the Bible goes on, he says this in verse 46, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'm going to strike you, and I'm going to cut your head off. And this day I'm going to give your carcass, the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands." He was confessing what he knew about God. He wasn't just saying, "You come at me with all of your mess, but I come to you in the name of my God, and he is with me, and he's going to give me the victory, and I'm not only going to kill you, I'm going to take your sword and cut your head off and give your big butt to the birds," or something like that. And so that's what he did. He killed him. He went over him after he hit him with that stone, killed him, and then took his sword, cut it off, and took it back to Jerusalem. Because he was in covenant with God. And we, as followers of Jesus, have even a greater covenant. The Bible says we have a better covenant established on better promises, so we can say with confidence, if we know him, the greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. Luke chapter 4, will you turn there? I'm going to close in just a moment. Luke chapter 4. We're all going to face our times of battle. Everyone in this life, we're going to face temptations. We're going to face spiritual attacks. I want to maybe just let someone know this morning, if you're going through a battle, maybe even right now, you're streaming, maybe that's why you're not even here, you're in that battle. I want you to know, just because you're in the battle does not mean you're out of God's will. Jesus was tempted. The issue is we can come through it by God's grace in his victory. That's all. So we're all going to have our challenges. We're going to have our battles. We're going to have our tests. But don't you know that it would be better for us to face those tests knowing in our mind and in our heart, the greater one lives in me. I'm not alone. Thank God for that truth. In fact, the Bible even says in Isaiah, I think it's 61, I want to say verse 3, it says that the Spirit of the Lord was upon the Messiah. And it says he's going to give beauty for ashes. He's going to comfort those who mourn. He's going to console those who are in Zion. And he says, I'm going to give them a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Sometimes if we're just in that spirit where it's like we feel like we're just kind of down and discouraged, like a spirit of heaviness, and we don't even know why, it's an expression of our faith to just come before the Lord and give him thanks anyway. Not because of our emotions, but because of the truth that he is with us and he is for us. And we confess his greatness and we confess his praise and we proclaim his word and we sing it and we speak it. There's something about that that can actually be uplifting to our spirit. A garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Luke chapter 4, we looked at this last week. I just want to close with it this morning just to basically just to reemphasize, Jesus is our example. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's been tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Now, is it wrong? Would it have been wrong for Jesus to eat? But he wasn't going to eat what the devil was offering. See, the reason that Saul and Ahab ended up as they did is because they rebelled against God and rejected his truth. If you were here last week, some of you remember this verse. Remember James 4, 7? In fact, I don't want to put that on the screen just yet, okay? If you have it up. Hold on a second. I want to see if anyone can help me, all right? The Bible says, therefore, submit to God. Does anyone know the next few words? David? Okay. Submit to God and what? Resist the devil and what? The devil shall flee from you. Submit to God. The only way we can really resist the devil is we have to get under the all-powerful and loving authority of God. Because if we're in rebellion to God, then we're not going to have the grace to resist Satan. Does that make sense? So submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from. So here's the temptation. And notice, he's tempted with food. So what did Jesus do in verse 4? But Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So do you see how Jesus was prepared for the temptation because he had gotten the scripture down into his heart. See, if I'm battling an area in my life, and I don't just pick one, you can throw out anything at me if you want. Whatever that area is, whatever that issue, whatever that temptation, if you will go to God's word and get the scripture about that. See, Jesus, when he was tempted with food, he didn't quote a verse on money. When he was tempted about worship, he didn't quote a verse on food. So he got that word down in his heart and he watered it. See, it's a process. We've got to make it a lifestyle of just kind of feeding on God's word. That's why I want to encourage you. Try to focus on that. Get that truth in your spirit. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. The greater one lives in me. Just get that. If you at least get that main part of it, then when you're tempted, you know that the greater one is already in you. He's with you, and he can help you to face and to have victory in that temptation. So he didn't just get it in his heart. When the temptation came, what did he do? He spoke it out. That's so important. If we've got the word in our heart, then when the temptation comes, if we keep our mouth shut, we're not using the spiritual sword that the Lord gave us. So open up, get that word in our hearts, and when temptation comes, speak it. You don't have to scream it. Maybe you're in a setting where all you need to do is say it loud enough for you to hear. It is written, whatever it may be. God has not given me a spirit of fearfulness. He's given me a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. That's how we use it. The greater one lives in me. I'll close with this. 1 John chapter 4, back where we started. 1 John chapter 4. And before I read this verse one last time, I want, please get this in your heart. How many of you are parents or grandparents? Let me see your hands. Would you hold them up, please? Okay, many of us, thank you. How would you feel about your son or daughter, maybe your grandchild, or anyone, we don't have to have children, someone, a child we love and care about, maybe a little niece, nephew, neighbors, kids, someone here at the church. How would you feel if someone was picking on them and bullying them while they were out away from you? How would you like that? Lori, you're giving me the look. Like, that's not going to happen. You don't like that? So how much more does a perfect father not want his sons and daughters being picked on and bullied and accepting defeat as a way of life? God is for us, not against us. And his Spirit, he's provided a way. Let's believe him. We're all going to stumble at times, but please don't drown in the devil's accusations and condemnation. Someone needs to hear that this morning. Because when you fall, it'll play right into the devil's hands to just say, I knew I wasn't going to make it. I knew I messed up. I can't live. By God's grace, you can. By God's grace, get back up. Speak the word of truth. Don't believe the devil's lies and just keep following Jesus. That's our part. The greater one lives in me. Notice 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. He says this, you are of God, little children. He's writing, this is a context of plurality. He's not, it's a truth that, yes, the greater one lives in me, but it's even more true to say the greater one lives in we. The greater one, notice what he says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you, plural, is greater than he who is in the world. Yesterday, I did a little 5K at a local Christian school because, you know, one of the ladies here, her grandson attends and went to help him out. You pay a little fee and walk the 3.1 miles. So yesterday I just walked it, so it wasn't like I needed a whole lot of applause. But some years back, I'm trying to remember if I was close to 50. I think it was close to my 50th birthday, and the last Saturday of October, Hopewell, you know, we typically have one. So I went out there that day by myself, and I said, well, I'm going to kind of walk and run a little bit when I feel like it, and I'll walk when I feel like it, and just make it around. So I go out there, and I ended up just, I kind of, where I was standing was up near the front of the group, and so they're all the runners. So when they started, they all took off running. There was no walking. And so I'm going to start jogging. So I started jogging. And then I was trying to keep up with some of them because competition. And so I was just jogging along. And, you know, when you start like breathing heavy and muscles start hurting and your mind is saying, okay, it's time to walk. But I could see the others going. And every so often they have people stationed. You're doing great. Come on. You're doing great. Just keep it up. So I couldn't stop in front of them. And then they offer you cups of water. And it was just like, sip, trash. You just toss it. And they pick it up. But those encouragers, and do you know, I didn't plan on doing this. I didn't think I could even do it. And I was able to keep a little steady jog that whole 3.1 miles, because someone along the way was saying, come on, you're doing great. You can do it. Hey, you're doing a good job. And I had others running with me. Man, I got to thinking about that yesterday, and I said, thank God we have brothers and sisters. The Bible says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank God the spirit of the perseverer, the greater one, is within us. And I'm so thankful, man, when we all go through our battles and times, but I'm thankful I don't want to face them alone. And there are brothers and sisters who say, come on, you're not alone in this. You're not alone in this. Come on, you can do this. Let's just keep believing. Let's just pray right now. Come on, let's believe Jesus. Let's come together. Let's worship the Lord together. I just need to get around some people of faith. And I just thank God for brothers and sisters who give me encouragement. And I want to do the same when they're in need and they feel like I can't put one spiritual foot in front of the other. I want to be there for them to say, come on, you're not in this alone. I'm going to be with you. Come on, come on. The greater one is within us. The greater one lives in me. Would you say it with me? The greater one lives in me. So think about that a moment. What battle are you in right now that you want victory in? If you know the Lord, whatever that issue is, will you get the truth of God's word down in your heart and spirit and build your faith on it? And when temptation comes, speak it out. If you stumble along the way, just get back up. Remember, you're not alone. We're in this together. Every moment, everyone here right now, you're in either what you might say a good moment or maybe a very difficult, bad moment, challenging, hurtful moment. It doesn't matter the moment. The same Spirit of God is with us every moment of every day through every experience, good and bad. And every follower of Jesus can say, the greater one lives in me. Aren't you glad that you never have to face anything in this life alone? You get to share the joys. You get to share the sorrows, the pains, the trials with one who loves you more than words can describe. And the greater one lives in me. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer and prepare to go into the communion time?